she worked on it, and she got a bunch of the stains out of it, even in the collar. And as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit said, I want to take some stains out of people tonight. I want to do things that nobody else can do for you. So just be open to that tonight. We're going to share a word. If you would give me my first verse, which is Psalms 119, verse 60, in the New Living Translation. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. And this is a word, I have not heard this in a while, and I've preached it more than once. And this is the word. God is waiting for you and wanting you to be able to immediately follow the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And sometimes it's a matter of life or death, how quickly you can respond to the Holy Spirit. John the Revelator in the book of Revelation said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. My advice to all of us is we need to be in the Spirit. It could be a matter of life or death. So this is a word about being in the Spirit, being able to move in the Spirit and maybe save somebody's life or change somebody's life. Bear with me, and I'm going to give you just a couple of examples. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20 in the New Living Translation. And one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. They were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them and said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to catch people. And they left their nets immediately and followed him. And you know, I've meditated on that a lot of times. You know, I grew up in a large city, but I never heard that you had to be born again until the day I was born again. And I only had to hear it one time. I only had to hear those claims one time. And I could feel it in my heart as Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me knocking and opens up, I will come into them. I did not hesitate that day. And from that day in the summer of 1971, until this day, I've been born again. Now, I've done some of my best sinning after I got saved. I was only 19 when I got saved, and I have gotten a lot better. But God has worked on me. I've allowed him to work on me. And if you're still having trouble with something, please don't be discouraged. Trust God. God knows what he was doing. God knew what he was doing the day he saved you. God knew what he was in for. And God loves you. You have to understand this. Speaking of Jesus, our high priest and elder brother, he ever liveth to make intercession for those who are heirs of salvation. He's going to be your high priest in heaven. He prays for us. He prays to the Father and speaks on our behalf to the Father. And one of the things that has helped me, and I believe will help you, is to move immediately. Practice the presence of God. Practice knowing, as Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. They can hear my voice, and they can differentiate my voice from the voice of the enemy. How do you do that? Through prayer and supplication, through praying the scriptures, and through walking with Jesus Christ. It's not a Sunday thing. God is not looking for church attenders as much as he is looking for sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he's looking for you, and he wants you, and every one of you in here are so special to him. He wants you to know that. He wants you to feel that. And over in the scripture, the Bible talks about immediately moving. Immediately. Now, I'm going to share another place in the Word. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 in the King James translation of the Bible. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda, having five porches, five places that are shaded, and there's water down below. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease. I want to say to you, God can heal anything. I've seen him heal everything. If you've been in this church for a long, you've seen him heal every kind of cancer, every kind of heart problem, every kind of disease, every kind of anxiety, every kind of stress, every kind of sin, every kind of addiction. God will heal you immediately if you'll believe him and take him at his word and act on his word immediately. In just a few minutes, we're going to take communion. And Paul told the Corinthians, right before you take communion, examine yourself. See if there's something that should not be in there. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins to the Lord, he is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you and cancel that sin and cancel the power of that sin off of your life. Does it happen overnight? Sometimes. Sometimes it takes a while. But we are called to work out our salvation every day of our life while we're here. Paul was an old man when he said, I've not yet arrived. I still have problems. I'm still working some things out with God. I want to say that that is normal, and that anybody that preaches or acts like they don't have any problems and they don't sin is a liar, an absolute liar. We're people that are under the mercy of God. I can remember Brenda Nicole as a little girl singing Saved by Grace. I can remember that, and she was so cute, and look at her now. Bless her heart. You want to come up and sing that with me right now? Nope. But as a child, she would come up and she would sing, Saved by Grace. Saved by Grace. My name is in the book of life. So on and so forth. And after this verse, in John chapter 5, it talks about a man that had been trying to get in first at the troubling of the water for 38 years. Never succeeded. And Jesus went up to him after that long period and said, do you want to be healed? He said, sir, I do, but I can never get in there first. And he said, "Do you want to be healed?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "You're healed." And he told him, "Now go and don't sin anymore unless something worse comes on you. And I'm going to ask you tonight in just a moment to examine your heart. And I want to know, God wants to know, do you want to wait 38 years or do you want to move in the Holy Spirit? Do you want to move now? Do you know what it is in your life?" See, we're not going to put anybody on the spot. But let me tell you something. I've done this for a long time. I started doing this when I was 24 years old in California. I was a youth pastor. And this is what I've noticed. I've preached up here, and you've heard me many times say, "Somebody needs this. Somebody needs that." And I said, "Stand up now." Now, I'm going to share with you the truth because I think it will help you. Many times, a multitude of times, people would meet me at that back door. Sam probably remembers this. And say, "Man, that was for me." And I said, "Why didn't you get up?" "Well," and, you know, "well isn't good enough sometimes. And God's not evil. But God's trying to teach you how to move in the Spirit." 5 years ago on the 4th of July, I was up in Illinois and a man was in the process of killing himself, of ending his life. And I heard that in my spirit. And God told me, "Call him right now and stop him." Without hesitation, I called him. And on the other end of that phone was sobbing and screaming and crying. "How did you know to call me just now?" I knew by an inkling of the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says this, "Unless you're led by the Spirit, you're not a child of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." That's happened to me many, many times. I remember Brother Autry Davis telling me many years ago, he said he was driving. He was going up a hill. And the Lord said, "Autry, pull over right now." And he pulled over right then. And here comes a logging truck on the wrong side of the road. He would have been creamed. I thought that was good. I thought it was amazing. It wasn't long after that, I was on my way to Fort Smith. And it was during the 4th of July season. And the Lord said, "Angelo, pull over right now." And I pulled over, and there was a fireworks stand right there. And I thought, "God, do you want me to buy fireworks for somebody?" And here comes a Porsche going over 100 miles an hour in the wrong lane with the Fort Chaffee police hot on his tail. He crossed over. He was going east, and he crossed over the road, and he came into the ditch, flew up in the air, upside down, bam. If I would not have listened to God, I would have been hit right then and there. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it matters. Sometimes it matters a lot. I've led people to Christ. I've witnessed to people about Jesus in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, God already had the words in me, just as when I was praising and we were watching that beautiful song, the Lord said, "And you hear me, and you do with this what you want. Nobody's going to call you out. But if you want the best from this preacher, if I make an invitation and you need something, and you know that it's for you, if I were you, don't meet me at the back. Because I've tried, and though I've tried, and though I've tried, it's not the same effect." And very often, people don't get what they... Why is that? Is God cruel? No, God's smart. God's preparing you for heaven. God's trying to save you from the next car. The other day, Millie and I think you were with me when that black vehicle with the girl, were you with me? She just came right into my lane. But see, that morning, Millie and I prayed and we said, Heavenly Father, into your hands we commit our spirit. We believe and declare and we confess you have a right to take us home today if that's what you want to do. And we're all right with that. You have a right to direct us and correct us and to mold us. As your word says, has not the potter power over the clay to make it whatever he wants to? The answer is yes. And we make that that declaration almost every morning. We make it clear to the spirit world that we're not having a Bible study by accident, that we love God and we trust him. And that woman, she just moved just in time. I'm not so sure. I might not have had some choice words for her. I mean, boo-boo words, if I would have a chance to talk to her. Because people are far too busy. If you'll do a check, people are dying because of these right here. People are making dates and checking Facebook and doing all kinds of nonsense when they should be dying. And they're hitting little kids and killing them. And if I were you, and this is to me, my wife will tell me, put that down. I've done better, haven't I? You know why? I don't want to hurt anybody. I was hit by a car when I was a child. I almost lost my leg. My mother begged Dr. Pinchina, please don't take his leg off because God's going to heal him. He said, I can let this sit for a few days. But the last time I saw Dr. Pinchina, I was 16 years old. He said, tell me about your leg. I've never seen anything like it. Can you use that leg as good as the other one? If you want to see a scar, after I'll show you the scar on my left leg. I said, Doc, I can use it better. He just said, oh my gosh. See, be that somebody to save somebody else, to warn somebody, to help somebody before it's too late. And don't be the person waiting for me at the back of this church telling me that was for me, but I was just too cowardly or too whatever that I did not come up and act on the promise of God. How many times in your life will there be the troubling of water, the opportunity to go ahead? Boy, I'll tell you what, that's how we bought our house. We just listened to the Holy Spirit because there was a lot of houses for sale, just like there's a lot of houses now. If you want to find out for sure, ask Sam. He'll tell you. We're praying on a big deal right now, a real big deal for Brother Sam, for Deacon Sam. Don't be the person waiting for me to tell me your sob story at the end of the service on why you didn't get up. Be the person that if God has something to say to you, own it. Own it. God does not want to hurt anybody. God wants to bless everybody. And in just a few moments, you're going to have the best opportunity to speak to God. If there's a stain, doesn't this shirt look pretty? I have the best wife. She cleaned this collar. I bought this from Cabela's many years ago. And I hadn't worn it. There was a stain on it. It just didn't look good. And I had to tell her when I got in the car with her, I said, Millie, that shirt looks great. And the Lord said, I want to take some stains out of my people, out of my sons and my daughter. I want to bring somebody to Christ tonight. And you're going to have the opportunity to just examine your own heart, so on and so forth. And many, many times in my life, God has told me to do something at the spur of the moment. But see, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And if you don't know the Lord's voice, you need to find out the Lord's voice. That might be something that you want to examine your heart about tonight. There's no pressure here. What there is an honest attempt to get you to be who God wants you to be and to have everything that God wants you to have. And let me tell you, you won't get it by being normal. There's a city in Illinois. It's called Normal, Illinois. I know that because me and Millie watched American Idol to the very end, and one of the top three was from Normal, Illinois. Let me tell you, Normal ain't going to get it if you want something from God. You're going to have to be a Samson. You're going to have to be a Gideon. You're going to have to be a Paul. You're going to have to be a Peter. You're going to have to be somebody. All of the other disciples were just as sure as can be that we're going to die crossing that lake, getting on the other side. Peter said, Jesus, if that's really you, because we're not sure, bid me that I can come out on the water and walk on the water like you're doing. And Peter walked on the water. That's what God wants you to do. God wants to bless you. God wants you to know that you're special. And he wants everybody else to know around you that you're special. And God's looking for people that will act on the voice of the Lord. Follow me. Here's fishermen fishing. Immediately, they put their nets down and they followed Jesus. You know, Peter, when he denied Christ three times and felt real bad about himself, the first thing he did is said, I'm going back to fishing. And the other disciples, he was a leader, said, well, we're going to go with you. There was Jesus on the shore. And he said, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And when they did that, it took both boats to get all those fish in. And Peter knew that that was Jesus. Jesus had a meal prepared for them. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, I just want to know one thing, Peter. Do you love me? And in the Greek language, he asked him, do you agape me? Do you love me with all of your heart? And Peter said, no, I phileo you. I'm fond of you. And he said, feed my sheep. He asked him again. And he asked him a third time, and Peter was grieved. And the last time that Jesus asked him, he said, are you really just fond of me? Is that the best right now that you are? He said, I want you. I've made you a fisher of men. Stop fishing for fish and follow me. And he began to follow Jesus, and he looked behind him, and there was John the Beloved. He said, well, what about him? And Jesus said this, never mind about him. If I want him to live until I come back, what is that to you? Peter went on. He gave his life. He was a martyr for Christ. He was crucified on a cross. He told those that crucified him, I am not worthy to be crucified right side up. Crucify me upside down. I love the Lord. He told me this was going to happen, and he didn't run away. This time he didn't run away. This time he didn't deny Christ. You have an opportunity to grow tonight or to stay the same. I won't be meeting anybody at the back of the church tonight, because what I'm going to ask you to do in just the next moment or two is to make an altar if you can get on your knees. And if you can't, like Sherry, make an altar in your heart. Examine your heart and see what you need in your heart. See if you can hold them down for just a minute. This is the moment of reckoning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says this: to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Why did God bring you here tonight? It's a very private thing. See, this is not the Moose Lodge. This is a church, and we're going to do church business. We don't care who likes it and who doesn't. This is a church house. If this is offensive, this probably isn't the place for you, because I'm 70. I hope to outlive all my enemies and all my neighbors. But if not, this might be the last time I preach. And I want you to be perfectly clear what I mean when I talk with you. Now, I didn't say this. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Right before you take communion, examine your heart. If there's something that shouldn't be in there, you know it. You already know it right now if there's something that's... And the next thing to do has nothing to do with me. It has to do with you. And I'm going to make this invitation, because this might be the last time we see each other. If you don't know Christ and you want to meet him tonight, I'm going to be at this altar up here. You can make an altar where you are. You can just sit there like a bump on the lawn. That's up to you. But for everybody that will, examine your heart. Make an altar right now. We're going to take communion in just a moment.